This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We've got a lot of things to hit with our next guest. He is the co-DC for the Arizona State Sun Devils, with his buddy Herm Edwards, who, of course, we know, everybody knows, the 2009 NFL Coach of the Year, long time with the Bengals, a winning record with them, which, let's face it, when he took them over, was not really an easy thing to get them to win. They were pretty bad. Marvin Lewis is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, how you doing today? What's happening?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Well, thank you, Coach.
Yeah,
thank
we
you,
are good, Coach. You know, the first question, obviously, is centered around what you're currently doing out at Arizona. How are you all managing this pandemic and not being around your kids and recruiting and all these things? I mean, we're talking a lot about pro sports, but college sports is probably significantly more disrupted.
You know, we were, I would say, fortunate. We got about half of our days of spring practice in before the pandemic occurred, and we had to send the players back home. So we were fortunate to get that in. So that's the first thing. And then since then, we have learned the ins and outs of Zoom virtual meetings up and down. I literally just got off the line being part of almost a two-hour virtual campus tour for our junior prospects or rising senior prospects. So, so it's been like that. We Zoom with the players. I Zoom with them a couple times a week, for about an hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half, depending on the subject. And then the position coaches spend another hour or so with them on the other days. And then we have these staff meetings, recruiting meetings, and then now these virtual tour meetings.
You know, Coach, as you have those meetings, and obviously with the kids, it's probably more, I think, compelling for us to hear what your meetings with Coach Edwards are like, and really the organization or the school and the conference. Are you guys sure that the season is going to happen at least on time?
Well, no, we are not, and that's not you know my thing. And I think it was last Monday or Tuesday, it was about 5 a.m. And I'm headed down to work out, and Herm's sitting outside his office at 5 a.m. Looks like a beat puppy. I'm like, what's wrong?
Oh, man.
And I just looked at him saying, we're done. I said, who's it? Well, you know, because California State Schools. And I said, well, Coach, that ain't us, so let's just keep going. Don't worry about what we can't control.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's the thing. It's no different than we experienced a few years back with the NFL lockout, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we had all these plans in place that we're going to come back here, we're going to come back there, we'll come back. Well, we're going to come back when everybody says we can come back. And so we just keep, you know, working ahead. It's been, you know, what we've tried to instill in the players is, you know, you got a great time to do the best job you can in school. You know, they finished the spring semester about two weeks ago. They just finished, they just started their first summer session, started Monday. And so for them, you know, there's not as many things on the plate, so they can devote a lot of time to academics.
That's good. That's Marvin Lewis. And, of course, Marvin, one of the stand-up, one of the real class acts, certainly during his time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is interesting to me, Marvin? I'm curious how you view this, because, you know, so many people have weighed in on your almost two-decade tenure, and in real time, certainly when he was still with the Bengals. But I think a lot of people forget – you know, during the 90s, just how inept the teams were in large part. A couple of the two-win seasons, three-win seasons, a four-win season. I mean, the Bengals were bad. In a lot of ways, they were a joke. And you won a lot of games. You won some divisional titles. But there's the 0-7 in the playoffs. And that is always brought up when we talk about the legacy of Marvin Lewis. I know you're proud of your time there, and you should be. But do you feel that the legacy is accurately represented? Like, what do you think you're most well-known for during your time in Cincy? More good or more negative on the field?
I don't know. That's really not my mind to judge. You know, it's just my job was to get the team to win a championship, and I didn't get that done. So, you know, that's what our jobs and roles of coaches are. But I do think, you know, when I walked out of there, it was in a better situation than when I started there. There's no question about it. The football team and roster they had a year ago was a good football team. So that's the one thing we can do. And I know my coaches did a tremendous job. I was very fortunate to have great coaches with me and around me all the time. And those things I was blessed about.
Go ahead, Teek.
Other than your 2000 season where, as defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, you embarrassed my Giants in Super Bowl 35. I'm all behind your career in the NFL. But let me take it back to a couple years after that 2000 Super Bowl victory for your Ravens. And you're heading into a meeting, I'm assuming, to potentially be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Take us back to that moment. And why did it work for you?
Well, I think, you know, that during that time, you know, I spent the 0-2 season with the Redskins and Coach Spurrier. And, I was able to again be with another first-time head coach in the NFL. I spent that with Bill Cowher, Brian Billick, and then Coach Spurrier. So I was blessed to see how others went about their business and the job. And, and it's time, you know, sometimes when you move, you learn a lot of new things. And so that was good. And just the opportunity, I passed on an opportunity in college football, and one of my close friends told me, be careful, you're going to end up being the head coach of the Bengals. That doesn't sound bad right now. And ultimately, obviously, it did work to that. And I think the biggest thing is when I went over and met with Mike Brown and his family the first time, and I walked out of the meeting after 7 or 8 hours, knowing that Mike Brown wanted to win football games in a very bad way. And they contacted me to help them do that. And that's the only thing that I always had to stand upon is you wanted me to come here to help you win. And so it was a good partnership.
Yeah.
You know, I had to convince them on how I wanted to do things at times. And that was my role. I accepted that role, and that's the way it is, because ultimately – it's his football team, and sometimes we didn't agree, but it was my job to try to get it to be as close as to what I thought we could be successful. It's really not what I wanted, it's what I thought it needed to be successful for us to win.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the things that you mentioned there is you connected with him, and you spent a long time, so he got to know you as well. And I can't was that the first year of the Rooney Rule, or would the Rooney Rule come after that? I can't remember if
the Rooney Rule came after that.
So it came after, and you know, obviously, you were one of the few minority head coaches at the time. And when the Rooney Rule happened, I think it maybe was a year or so after that. Did you think it was a good thing and was going to work at the time?
Well, I think it's a good thing, and whether or not, you know, it's working or not, you know, unfortunately, we're still talking about here,
yeah.
You know, almost 16 years later, and that's the unfortunate part, 16 years later, so that's the part, and it hasn't obviously, hasn't affected, made it affect and change on GMs, coordinators, and so forth, so we're still trying to make progress in those areas, and but I do think yes, making a club management take a little deeper dive is important, and to get to know more candidates, and I think for minorities, for them to know they have an opportunity and to get prepared to when they get that opportunity, to number one, they can put their best foot forward, and secondly, when they get the job, to do the best job they can.
Marvin, I would imagine that there's, over the years for sure, that there's been a lot of younger minority candidates that seek your counsel, want feedback. You never publicize, but I'm sure, you know, just the way you're, you know, people talk about you, I'm sure you're receptive to it. I'm sure you really go out of your way to help people, guide them. Maybe they're a little despondent over the process. What do you tell the young, aspiring, up-and-coming minority head coach who feels that he's just not getting the right look or a fair look, and in most cases they're not? We know that. What do you tell that person to maintain their energy and their belief that the system's going to actually get right?
See, and that's the thing, Lily. Herm and I had that discussion Friday evening, you know, that, you know, everybody just assumes that things happen right away for us. And we watched the Denny Greens, the Ray Rhodes, mm-hmm. Sherman Lewis, and guys that went before us, Tony Dungy. And so we know how it's been a hard road all throughout. So we're always encouraging. Always want to tell you to be the best prepared you can be and get the job and then decide you want the job. But go get the job. Go full bore, all in, and then decide whether or not it's the job you want or not. Because you can't go halfway. You got to go full speed.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very important. So you got to get prepared. And that's important.
You know, one of the process, or one of the, I think, problems, you know, Coach, is that it's sometimes it feels like good players who want to get into coaching, they feel like they need to like rocket up the path now. Like, you see these young offensive coordinators or play callers getting these head coaching jobs, and you say, oh, that could be me. But you have a guy on your squad who's a former teammate of mine, Antonio Pierce, who was a really good high school coach, and then he comes to the college level. I think he's doing a good job for you guys there. When you talk to a guy like AP, you know, is that his goal as well? Because I think that's where that's how the process has to work. You got to start in high school, and then you get to college, and then eventually you get your shot. Is that how you see it?
You know, that's how I see it. It's not necessarily always the way it goes, but AP is very patient in that process, and he is tremendous, and he is going to be as prepared as anybody's ever been when he chooses to do that. Not when the time comes, when he chooses to reach out and do that, because he is everything you just said. And he's very patient in the process. He's doing a tremendous job right now building the program at ASU for Coach Edwards in the recruiting part, as well as being a great position coach. He's going to be a great defensive coordinator. So all those things, he can draw back on his time in Washington, his time with the Giants. He draws back. I said, remember, you know, and he goes and shows me this tape. Remember, we beat the Green Bay. We're playing Green Bay in the championship game. I mean, it's just amazing, his recall of things. And that's what's been so much fun for me to be back around him since the year I got to coach him in 2002.
Marvin, really nice having you on the show. 16 years with the Bengals and a lot of wins. Now helping the young men at the college ranks with Arizona State. We've obviously talked about that with Herm and the aforementioned Antonio Pierce. First-rate individual. Really nice catching up. Marvin Lewis, thank you, Coach. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank
Good
you
luck
guys.
To you.
Appreciate it. Stay safe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.